Good morning, everyone. We are live today again. It seems to be that I am practicing for our Sunday night live, so I'm using some of the software that is brand new to me, so that's why we're live today. But I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad that we have the opportunity to share again today on this Tuesday. I want to go over some thoughts. Before I do, thank you for joining. Thank you for being with our journey together. And if you have not subscribed yet, do so. If you haven't sent me a comment, make one. Amen. Trusting there'll be good comments, of course. And if you haven't shared this with someone, it'd be good to do that also. Thank you for that. Someone may be encouraged by what we are sharing on our daily time together. Amen. Well, where are we in our journey? I'll tell you where we are. We have already completed. I know. Faith always puts us way out there, and we can see ourselves healed, and we can see ourselves in victory. But I tell you, in reality, when we live in that victory, it affects the now. When we live in God's deliverance, it affects today. You cannot live in the moment without being eternally hooked into God's victory. Because if you try to live in the moment, try to live today without understanding that I am connected to God's victory, which is, of course, I love Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of life in Christ has raised us or delivered us from the law of sin and death. So today, came across my mind as I'm preparing, Lazarus was declared by Jesus to be asleep. Well, I want you and I to wake up to our possibilities and who we really are in Christ. I've got a couple of verses I want to read to you. I want to go into the Amplified out of 2 Timothy, the second chapter, for just a little bit, and talk about some of the things that take us off of our target of who we are and what we are intended to do, and that put us in a place of being asleep, not awake, but asleep. I think that before we ever worship and sing, and you know, the songs and the singing, and we always call it worship in the church, I think there ought to be a reminder, a teaching, a short blast of, come on now, this is who you are in Christ. When you catch a hold of what God has done and who He is and who you are and how you've been made in His image, worship turns into a whole nother realm. Matter of fact, I would encourage you before you pray, before you go to your prayer closet, to have a checklist, a hit sheet. You know, if you're a remodeler, you know, someone that's going to build or remodel or finish, you have a hit sheet, you know, and you have it marked off. 1, 2, 3, and get all those done, then it'll be done. Before you go to prayer, I am who I am in Christ, what Christ has done in me, what He's done on the cross, you know, the eternal values of the blood, all those, the name of Jesus, and what faith is. All those things need to be reminded and refreshed. So when we step into the prayer closet, when we go into worship, where we don't spend the first part of that time trying to find ourselves and be encouraged in the Lord. Amen. Well, that's my that is my spiritual rant for today, and it's one of my pet projects. Lord, before we come into worship, I want to adjust myself into who I am so that I can come in as a son, I can come in as a co-laborer, a co-inheritor. I am the Son of God, a joint heir in Jesus Christ, and so are you. Okay. The verse in 2 Timothy jumped out at me today, and I just want to go over it in the Amplified just a bit here. And the servant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome. There's a the Mirror Bible in the 22nd verse, or the 16th verse of that same chapter, second chapter, 2 Timothy. Do not engage in any conversation that may sound pious, but carries no content. It only leads to lengthy and meaningless ungodly debates. I thought, now that's the paraphrased. I thought, boy, isn't that the truth? I've heard some sermons that are lengthy and not very godly. And I've heard some conversations, and I've had some, I'm sure, over if I could remember that. Okay. Now, the 23rd verse says in the Amplified, but refuse, shut your mind against having nothing to do with trifling, ill-informed, unedifying, stupid conversations, conversations over ignorant questions, for you know that they foster strife and breed quarrels. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is because everything that this represents takes us off our target of who we are and what God has for us. Temptation does that. A mind that is caught up in worry does that. Thoughts that we see ourselves as the little broken soul that we were when we were 14 and nobody liked us in school and they chased us home and beat us up. All those things take us off the target. So that's why we are to come into that place where it says we have the mind of Christ. Now, what is the mind of Christ? The mind of Christ says he didn't think it was robbery to consider himself to be equal and to know that he had a father that loved him and to know that he had the glory of God and the glory of heaven was his. You see, that wasn't, he had the mind or the thinking that that was his inheritance. So you and I with the mind of Christ doesn't mean that, you know, we've got God's wisdom totally. He certainly gives that to us in the appropriate time and the proper times as we need it. But the mind of Christ is that I think I have the thinking that Jesus has, and that is he is accepted by the Father, loved by the Father, and set on a target and a trajectory that has a purpose to it. All right. Why are we losing in a certain period of their youth? And many of them get caught up in bondages and side issues that take them off target. I really believe it's because they lose their focus of what they've been called for. A family, a society that puts into the heart of a young person a destiny, a purpose, it really holds them It really holds them on target. Now, Jesus was a Nazarite, and the Nazarites had a hard built-in things they did not do to stay in that calling and that position in their community, and they didn't touch dead bodies, long hair, and so forth. So Jesus was a Nazarite in that society he was in, and he stayed on the course. When you have a purpose, you stay on course. For instance, this is very simple, but it'll bring the point out. You get up, you get dressed, you get in your car, and you go to work. Why? You had a target. You know that you had to be there at 8 o'clock. You didn't lollygag, as they say. You didn't goof off. You didn't take any side trips. You didn't stop at the store and, you know, talk to your friends. You had a target and you got there on time. Why? Because the provision and the reward of being diligent to hitting that target meant that you got a paycheck at the end of the week. See, that would be a simple picture of staying on target. Now, how do you build in then a target? Let me read out of the Amplified this setting in the second chapter of Timothy. And if you're in a place you can do that, you can follow me along. Don't do it while you're in motion somewhere. The servant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome, fighting and contending. Instead, he must be kindly to everyone and mild temper. Now, the servant of the Lord is not the preacher. The servant of the Lord is you and I. We are servants of the Lord. He must be skillful. Now, we say he, it's the he or she, it's the person. Patient, forbearing, and willing to suffer wrong. He must correct his opponents with courtesy and gentleness in the hope that God may grant that they will repent and come to know the truth. That is, that they will perceive and recognize and become accurately acquainted with and acknowledge it, and that they may come to their senses. Now, here's the catchphrase, or the point we're driving at, is that if we get caught up in quarrelsome, endless genealogies, I think the statement was what Paul used, don't get caught up in endless genealogies that minister questions rather than godliness. That was the statement he made to Timothy, wasn't it? Why? Because it takes us off our target. And it puts us into a bondage. And the last verse here in 26, that they may come to their senses and escape out of the snare of the devil, having been held captive. Why? Because if we're held in that bondage of side issues, distractions, temptations now are just a distraction to get us off our target. The last phrase there in the Amplified, to do God's will. To do God's will. The will of the Lord for you and I is to be at peace, be prosperous, be successful in our spirit, soul, and body, come to a place that is called perfection. And in that perfection, we begin to exhibit things that God has called us to be, and that is a representative of Jesus Christ. So this whole argument that's going on, and I come with a long bony finger of the typical Bible thumping preacher, you're going to hell. If you don't get saved, you're going to hell, you dirty sinner, you rotten sinner. You know, he said, don't do that. Come in a gentle, come in patience, treat them with the kindness to the Lord, bring them into the things that God would have them by a spirit of love, not a spirit of you dirty, rotten sinner, you're going to hell if you don't get saved tonight. So the end result is if I walk in that particular attitude as a believer, then I'm held, I'm bound in my own crazy world of anger, and I will not fulfill the will of God in my life. It's for me as well as the person that I'm dealing with. I need to come into a place where I flow with a spirit of love and I have a gentle spirit. Now, that doesn't mean I don't shout once in a while, because I can get pretty loud and I can get pretty intense and I can have a godly anger against, you know, wickedness and sin, but not the people we're dealing with. There's something comes through in the love of God that. All right. Well, just scratching around a little bit. Wake up to the potential. Wake up to who you are in Christ. Wake up to your target. Wake up to what God's called you to be. Amen. Well, I love you guys and gals. I love to be a part of your life. Thank you for sending back some comments. Don't let time go by without sharing and liking, you know, the whole thumbs up thing. Amen. It's good to continue to develop our ongoing relationship with our Heavenly Father so that we can have a wake up to who we are in Christ. Amen. Don't forget now, we are live Sunday night at 6 o'clock. This Sunday night, we are going to interview and interact with Pastor John Zumwalt from Southern Oregon. And we're going to have some good conversation about what God's doing and what we are planning for our future in the kingdom of God. So be sure and tune in 6 o'clock Sunday night live. Until tomorrow morning, I love you. I love you all. And I will see you then. God bless.